This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer. And welcome to another exciting episode of Flight Training the Way I See It. This is the January 2024 edition. And for those of you who subscribe to our newsletter, you probably already have the PDF of the newsletter. You can get it by subscribing at cfibootcamp.com. And also, if you're a regular podcast subscriber, then you're getting this by audio. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about for January. So January is going to be some announcements. First is CFI Bootcamp welcomes our new camera technology, which I want to talk a little bit about, talk to you about the OWL. And the second is the January 20th Power Hour was a super hit. It was so fun. So I'm going to describe what we did there and hopefully get a chance to listen to that, especially if you're a membership subscriber there at Bootcamp Plus. We're going to talk about get ready for the new PHAC, Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. We'll do a summary. A quick summary of Teaching Older Pilots by Dr. Victor Vogel. He did a power hour for us, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And I've got three pro tips to share with you. So this episode should take us about 20 minutes. So sit back, relax, and get ready to ride lightning. Actually, it's not really today because we don't have any controversial subjects. I'm so upset by that, you know? Usually I like talking about those things. I have nothing controversial. Well, I do. It's on the second part, so we're going to come to that. All right, let's look at the first part. So new camera technology. So in all of our locations now, that is Miami, Palo Alto, and Las Vegas, we have a camera technology called the OWL. And what this thing is, it looks like, if you can imagine a speaker you'd take to the beach, that's maybe about a foot and a half tall. It's circular. You stand it up somewhere, right? It looks like that, except for it's got two eyes that kind of look like an owl. And what it has in it is its own camera, 360-degree camera. It also has a microphone and speakers, and it connects as a webcam to Zoom for us. It's what we use for streaming. And what it does is amazing. So the first thing is you can imagine your Zoom window. Say it's full screen. The first, like, maybe one quarter, the top of the Zoom window, would be the entire 360-degree view of the class. And down below that, there'll be between one and three panes, and those panes will contain whoever's talking. So if I'm talking only, then it's just going to show me one pane only, and you'll see the class on the top. If someone else starts talking, it will know that and will bring the camera over so it sees that person as well. And if there's another person, it'll bring up to three panes in view. So it does that without physically moving. It does it electronically, and it centers on the person who's talking, which really adds for a nice experience in the classroom because you don't have to wonder who's talking and it's not like they're in the background somewhere with a webcam. You can barely see. It centers them and zooms right up on them. So it's a really good technology. Also, the audio quality is really good and the video is full HD, so that's great. So we have one unit that's resident in Las Vegas. It never leaves Las Vegas. And the other goes back and forth between Palo Alto and Miami. So this Monday coming, February the 5th, it's going to be in Miami, and you're going to see it, and people are going to see it in motion. It's going to be real fun for people. I think the online experience is really, really good with that. So you can have a look at that when you get a chance. Next topic here was to talk about the January 20th Power Hour. It was a super big hit. It was so fun. It was called A Life Without the E6B, and byline was What a Wonderful World, right? And of course, you know my feelings about the E6B if you've been around. That dog's had its day, is what I say. We shouldn't be testing at all with it, unless it's your preference. If you said, I'm going to use the E6B on this flight, then I'm happy to let you use it. But otherwise, I don't think anybody should be insisting on it. I think it's primitive, beyond. It's a great tool, but there are so much better tools available, okay? And the old arguments about what are you going to have, your battery does this, your iPad does that, all those things can be easily just quashed because you have backups. What happens if the internet goes down? Well, okay, great. You can't update your charts. What happens if the GPS goes out? Well, then you have to use some other form of navigation. But is it always down to using that tool? No, it is not. It is a tool. That's all it is. It's a circular slide rule that's 84 years old, just so you know, 84. So the thing we did, we had something fun that we did on the show. So basically, I gave all the reasons why we shouldn't be using it anymore. But if you want to use it, I'm happy to let you use it, is what I said. We shouldn't be insisting on its teaching. So I quashed all of those arguments like you can't teach the principles of navigation, they won't know how to do a flight plan. All those things are nonsensical. You can use arithmetic and you can get and a little bit of geometry and get everything we need out of it. I even talked visually. I explained it in words. I can explain it to you now and you'll get it, right? If you really want to understand principles of navigation, think about this. If you want to go from point A to point B, and we can pick some distance, it's 100 miles, and you're going to do that, and there's going to be a 30-knot direct crosswind on your trip, right? Directly, 30 knots. And you have an F-15, and you're going 2.5 Mach. When you get to point B, if you make no correction for wind drift whatsoever, you're almost going to be over, exactly over point B, off by a smidge, right? Because the 30 knots of wind was only affecting you for maybe 3 minutes, 5 minutes, something like this. But if we're in an ultralight and we're going 40 knots, then you can see that if we don't do anything, that 30 knots is going to push you sideways, push you off track, and you're going to be way far from destination. So basically the idea is, if you know your speed, how fast your forward speed is, your true air speed, and you know what the wind strength is, you'll be able to calculate what the wind drift angle is. And using basic arithmetic, you can do that, and then you'll go right to destination. So let's talk about how to do it, how to do that if it's all crosswind. And this would be the maximum drift that you could experience, right? So if you think about you're going from point A to point B, and you have at a particular speed, and you have a particular crosswind, you say, what's that drift angle going to be? How much, basically, would I have to turn my airplane into the wind so that I would not drift? And the answer is, take 60 times the wind velocity. So let's pick 30 knots, okay? So 60 times 30 is 1,800. And divide it by your true air speed. So our true air speed in this case is 100. That's 18 degrees. So if we turn the airplane to the right, 18 degrees, or into the wind, I should say, 18 degrees, we won't drift. There's the principle of navigation. How does it affect your ground speed? Well, then, if we have some part of its headwind or tailwind, we could talk about that. And we can say how that would change our fuel burn and our time to destination. So you see, it's not hard. You don't need an A6B to do that. So some other things we did on the show where I allowed people to throw tomatoes at me. It was really funny, right? So they could put a capital T in the chat, and that would be throw a lot of tomatoes at me for what I just said. Or they could throw just a single tomato. That was a smaller case T. And some people got creative and actually found tomato emojis and threw those at me. But there wasn't so many. I was kind of disappointed. Hopefully you'll throw tomatoes at me. That'll be fun. So we did that, and I had a few zingers in there, of course, like I like to do. And one of the zingers I had was that if people are going to train using the C6B and they're be tested like that, as soon as they get done with the test, they're not going to use this thing. Do you really? And if you use it, you know, good on you. 84 years old, great, you know, still use the E6B, great. But I think most people aren't using that because there's so many other things and features and advantages you get for using something like ForeFlight that you'd be like, why on earth would I want to do this? So one of the zingers was, you go in for a minor surgery and the anesthesiologist comes out and has a slide rule and you say, what are you doing? I'm calculating like how much of each anesthesia, the components to give you. He's like, you have something else like you could, huh? You think you want that? No, you don't want that, right? And the other thing I said, which I thought was funny, was that the only other time you're ever going to need the E6B is when the zombie apocalypse comes or when Christians finally see Jesus again. That's what I said, right? So, yeah, that dog has had its day. So anyway, that was kind of fun and it was really lighthearted and it was very funny. And I told people in the beginning of that power hour, I should say, I said, look, I don't drink like any kind of beer, alcohol during the day, unless there's like a big sporting event on, like the Super Bowl playoff game. I watch that. I said, well, maybe it's a good idea to have one of these beers, right? I said, this is one of those times. This is one of those times. So feel free, if you're not going to be flying today, to go crack a cold one. So that was kind of funny. So that was that conversation. And it was real fun and people really liked it. We had about 80, 90 people in the room. If you've not been to our Power Hour, then you can get access to that by going to our website, cfibootcamp.com. At the top, there's a green bar. It talks about the Power Hour. And you just click that and it will give you email reminders, like I think three of them per week. One is like on Wednesday or Thursday saying what's going to be for the Saturday. And then there's one an hour before the show and then one right when the show starts. And those are Saturday, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. And we just finished Power Hour 168. So we've done 168 of them. This one coming up will be 169. Okay, next on the plate is get ready for the new PHAC, New Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge is on its way. Scheduled to be released in June. So we don't know what's in it. I don't have any of my birds whispering to me at FAA right now about that, but it's a new version of the PHAC. They did a minor version change about 4 months ago, I think it was about that, where they just took some of the errata sheets and embedded them into the document. I don't know why they felt the need to do that, but they did that. And now it's a new version. So we're going to see what's changed. I doubt it shrunk. It's 600 and some odd pages. I think it's probably not 500. I think it's right up there. The issue, of course, I have with the document is it's too dense for a private pilot, sport pilot, recreational pilot, right? It's built to cover everything from student pilot all the way through ATP, including flight instructor. It's one doc, one book to rule them all, right? So there's not one for private, not a book for this, not a book for that, because that'd be too much to keep up with, I suppose. But I can tell you this, that you have to really be careful when you assign reading from the PHAC to a student, because they can get overwhelmed really quickly. I'm going to give you a solution to that, right? It took me forever to design up a solution to it, but I've got one. So before you assign reading in the PHAC to your student, make sure the student has an online course. Anybody's will do, by the way. Just pick one. They're all pretty decent. And have them go through that particular section. Let's call it aerodynamics. So you go through the online course, aerodynamics. Now you need to read the source material, which is in the PHAC. And then in that reading, anything that wasn't discussed in the online course, just skip. So that kind of helps you redact what or trim down what you don't need. So you're not going to necessarily read about swept wings. You're not going to read about supersonic flight, you know, all these jet stuff. You're not going to really worry about that. So that's what I say to do for each of those chapters. So that's what I would say about that. But we're looking forward to it, see what it looks like. I'm sure it's going to have a terrible cover like the Airplane Flying Handbook does. I think what they did was they went to all the middle schools around the country and had a contest and say, who's going to create the cover for this new Airplane Flying Handbook? And that's what they come up with. And whoever puts clouds on as a background, stop doing that. Clouds just get in the way, right? You don't need clouds, right? Unless it's a weather, you could do a little segment with the weather book, I suppose. But basically, you want the message, the letters, and what's being said to be clear. You don't want them to be in the clouds, right? And also red. They use the color red in there on the Airplane Flying Handbook. So we'll see. Also, the thing that changed in the Airplane Flying Handbook is it went from being two columns to one, just one single read. So I don't know. I used to didn't like that. I'm not sure what I think about that now. We'll see. And I think with the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, we're probably looking at a similar thing. Okay, so look for that in June. I'll let you know as I find more out about that. Okay, moving on down, we had Victor Vogel, Dr. Victor Vogel, who is an oncologist, retired now. He sits on the board at NAFI, so he's a really qualified pilot, instructor, and he started flying late in his life. All right, and what he did was he created a great presentation on teaching older pilots, which he's done at NAFI Summit and other places, and he's highly qualified to do that. He's an older pilot himself. He's 70-something, and he produced a lot of great data. So you can go to our Power Hour Outlines, which is a CFIbootcamp.com on the top resources, then go to Power Hour Outline Catalog, and you can see the outline for that. You get a copy of it, and you can see some snippet of the thing. If you're one of our members in the membership site for CFI Bootcamp, Bootcamp Plus, then you can hear the whole thing. All right, and the next time he'll be doing that is probably Sun and Fun. All right, so there's that. And again, if you haven't attended Live Power Hour, go ahead and go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, click on the green bar in the top, and you'll get reminders of that, and you also know the topic well ahead of time. Okay, now we're almost done. We didn't have a lot this month, a little bit, but I want to go through some pro tips with you. So there's three pro tips here, and they're kind of different than the ones I usually give, right? So usually it's some maneuver, procedure, some little tip on that, but these are kind of different, so let's look at that. Number one is use ADS-B internet traffic on ForeFlight to see how busy the airport or practice area is before you go fly. Remember that ADS-B is only required where transponder is required and also within 12 nautical miles of the U.S. coastline over the Gulf of Mexico between 3,000 and 10,000 feet MSL, just in case you didn't know that. Even if it's not required, though, many airplanes have ADS-B out, and so it's another great data point for your flight. So you can say, oh, we're going to go over to this particular airport, this general area, how busy is it? How busy is the traffic pattern right in that place right now if they have ADS-B? Or our alert area, for example, here in Miami, it's an alert area. We can see what's in there already before we go. Almost everybody, well, everybody's supposed to have ADS-B. Maybe one airplane is broken, but it's not, it wouldn't be so common, right? So that's a good tip. You can turn that on in ForeFlight with, if you go to the layers on the top, you can look on the right-hand side. In other words, the charts are on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side are the features, and you can turn on traffic, and that's internet traffic, relayed by FlightAware. All right, second tip. You're going to hate this one. I know you're going to hate it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Get ForeFlight's Performance Plus subscription. That's the highest level. You really want that. Now, if you join SAFE, that's safepilots.org, you'll get one-third off your entire ForeFlight subscription. Not on Jepson charts and the rest of it, but on the subscription. So, for example, Performance Plus, I think, runs somewhere around $323, something like this, around this. So I end up getting a third off of that. I give, SAFE $45 or $50 a year, and they give me back that plus another $60. So a pretty good deal right there. So why do I want to do that? Well, Performance Plus lets you see and teach weather more interactively, along with many other things. I did a whole segment on risk management, of teaching risk management visually on the last Power Hour, for example. And I did it using ForeFlight and another lab. So if you go in ForeFlight, you go to imagery and you show the student the surface analysis chart. You'll see the high pressure area, low pressure areas, fronts, that sort of thing. And if you go to the layers on ForeFlight on the top left side and you choose wind and speed, you'll get animation of the winds, whatever's on the slider bar on the right-hand side, whatever altitude you select. And so you can put like 10,000 feet over there and you can show it next to the surface analysis chart and you can see how, in fact, the low pressure areas circulate to the left, how the fronts move, how you can tell if it's a occluded front. You can do a lot with that, all right? So you make weather just sing off the page. And this is a great thing to do. Well, you also can do something with Performance Plus in 3D view. So you have a way to show the airport what it looks like before you get there, so the environment. And then you can also, if you have a flight plan set up in there, you can fly your flight plan in 3D view. And I like to use 20x speed so I can see it kind of quickly. You can see the terrain, you can see if there are roads. And the other day we did one over the ocean. I'm like, that was a bad idea. You know, I wouldn't have done that now that I see it, right? And then the routing I picked was horrible over all this terrain and wasn't high enough. There were so many things you could see right away. So you'll get that with Performance Plus, not for any other subscription. So make sure you get that. Okay, and you can also teach with it too. The another part about that, I guess I'll just tell you, is in the Performance Plus subscription, if you go to your profile view, which you'll have under flight plan, you'll see the profile and you can turn on clouds and it will show you the bases and the tops on your profile. It'll show you turbulence if you put it on there, also show you icing. So you can see right away if you're gonna be in the clouds or not, if it's gonna be an IFR or VFR flight. So I use it for risk assessment for that purpose, and it's really quite good for that. Okay, now last tip of the day, and then we're done. So you can go do something else. You can you don't have to speed up to the coffee shop now. You're almost there, right? I knew it. So if you're a CFI in training, please join the Facebook CFI study group. So you'll find it, and Dorothy Schick is the moderator. It's called CFI space study space group. There's about 4,000 members in this little group. I have, when I found it, I thought this was like the greatest thing. So it's for CFIs in training. And there are also very seasoned CFIs in there to help with questions you might have. So for example, we've got Rod Machado is there, and Greg Brown, there's myself, there's a guy named Rex who's amazing, and Dorothy, also amazing, right? Answer these questions along with other people. And so there's no ridicule here. So if you go answer a question, people aren't going to tell you how you're so stupid, you shouldn't have done this or that. They'll cut you right off if you want to do that. Don't join the group. That's not what it's for. So if you don't like the way something was said, you just don't need to answer it. Is what I say, right? If instead of saying anything about it, if you don't have a comment that's positive about it, just don't bother saying it. And that's how the group runs. And it's very, very, very good. And every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific time, so that's 7 Eastern, there's a 2-hour Zoom call. that they do, that everybody's welcome to attend, usually about 20, 30 people now. And so first hour is questions and answers, and the second hour is usually someone from the group pre-selected to teach some lesson and get critiqued on it. So how good is that? You have some of the best people in the industry listening to you, commenting, helping you, answering your questions, giving you references, you know, verbatim references right from the FAR or from a legal interpretation or from somewhere. So this is a great resource for you. So go there and get that. And again, you'll know it's the right group because Dorothy Schick is the moderator. And it's, again, called CFI Study Group. So I'm trying to grow their list better because I just think it's such a great idea that who wouldn't want to join it if you're a CFI in training. Okay, well, that's all I got for you this week. And I'm looking forward to February. Looking forward to the last bit of the beautiful weather we have here in South Florida. Looking forward to our CFI class, which is full on February 5th. We had a completely full Las Vegas class. We had 13 people. We have 10 in this class. So I'm looking forward to teaching that both in person. So we'll be in person in Miami. Our classroom in Palo Alto will be open. So it'll be four people at least in there. So they'll be zooming into our Miami class. And we've got a couple people at home. So until next month, that's it for Flight Training the Way I See It. This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinions.